Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Jeff Swenson, who is the head of retail banking at Eastern Connecticut Savings Bank. He has over 15 years of banking experience working in various leadership positions. Jeff serves as a community member of the local Chamber of Commerce Leadership Program, and when not working in the community, he can be seen at one of his two daughters' soccer games. Jeff, welcome to the episode.
Daniel, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to have a nice conversation with you today.
So Jeff, you have two daughters. How old are they?
So I have, one is 13 going on 30, and the other is 9.
Oh, that's awesome. So I've got 5 little boys, wow. All the ages of 10 and younger. So we're kind of getting up into those teenagers years. I hear a lot that the teenagers years definitely bring in an interesting element to the equation.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for me is understanding all of these abbreviations of words that don't exist and trying to communicate, as being a Gen Xer, it can be challenging at times, but my daughter's helping me along.
Oh, that's awesome. So Jeff, I do like to ask of all my guests, kind of as the first question to really get into the conversation is, how did you get started in the banking industry to begin with? So I know in your bio, we talked about how you have 15 years of banking experience in various leadership positions, but how did you get started in banking to begin with?
Yeah, so honestly, it was a complete mistake, and it just so, you know, the quickest version of the story is I was, my previous life, I worked in restaurants. I did training for restaurants. And back, this is dating myself, but back when Monster was a thing, and that's not the drinks, that is, it used to be the Indeed back in the day.
Okay.
So Monster was a job search agent, and I accidentally made my resume public, and within a couple hours, I got a call from a financial institution, and I went in and met with them, and it was at a time in my life, my kids were coming along, and I just said, hey, this seems like a great opportunity. So, the rest is history. And here I am, 15 years later, working in the banking industry. And what a relatable set of skills, for sure, for a lot of things. Yep. And really enjoy, the opportunity to help people meet their financial goals and dreams.
So before the banking industry, then, you mentioned that you were in the restaurant industry. What did you used to do?
Yeah, so I worked for a private restaurant group. There was 20 locations, and I oversaw the training of the managers for.
Okay, great.
I started, bussing tables and serving and bartending, and just worked my way up while I was in school, and just transitioned, at a young age into a management position. Yeah. Failed miserably, learned a lot of hard lessons. But nothing that I would ever take back, because, some of the greatest things that I learned were through those experiences.
You know, that's something I've always told all my peers, is that someday, eventually, you will fail. It's not going to be a question of if you're going to fail. You're going to fail, you're going to fail fabulously, and you're going to fall flat on your face. But it's those failures that you said, you learn from, you grow from, and that what really paved the path for future success.
Yeah, I found out pretty quickly that yelling at people is not an effective leadership tactic.
But yeah, maybe remove that one from the leadership skills.
Yeah, but at 20, you haven't had any training. You don't know any better. It's what you've seen on TV, and that,
do what you're told.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about your transition to banking. Then, what was your first position? Did you start at the bottom again? Did you start out as a teller, or where'd you start in at?
No, so I came in as an assistant manager. Again, they were really looking for the, and I believe this very much to this day, is that if you have the right attitude, you have the right soft skills, anybody can be taught banking. It's really about, do you have the customer service skills? Do you have the will and the skill to drive results? And you can learn just about anything. So I started as an assistant manager, and then very quickly worked up to a branch manager position, and was in that for a few years. And then I transitioned to a different financial institution. Was a branch manager there. And then for a period of time, I oversaw a regional area and assisted with that. as a more of a regional manager overseeing, five or six branches. And then that was in the state of New Hampshire. And then I relocated back to the beautiful state of Connecticut where I grew up, and found this opportunity with Eastern about 16 months ago. And here I am today.
So then what is the head of retail banking? What do you do? What's your day to day?
Yeah. So, you could assimilate it to a regional manager for, a larger financial institution, but okay. They're wearing many more hats. Yeah. So we have five branches in our network, and then we also have a care center. So overseeing all of the, activities, operations, and sales aspects that go along with all those branches. But then, since we're a smaller institution, I'm product development, part of rate setting, looking at how we are aggressive and, attaining new deposit customers. There's a lot of pieces that it would take me about 20 minutes alone just to go into all of the things that I do on a daily basis. But it's the general is just oversee, the retail aspect of our business.
So then five branches, are we looking at 50 to 80 employees at the bank?
Right in that. Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Right in that range.
So then let's really kind of dig into to the topic for the day. And I think this is a good choice. I'm kind of excited to discuss about it, but it's focusing on the importance of the upcoming generation and then supporting community and then how that really aligns with their views. So I know we talked briefly about upcoming generations and how they're supporting community, but if you don't mind, let's talk about upcoming generations and just banking in general. So, head of retail banking, I'm sure you're always on the lookout for new talent, good talent, quality talent.
Yeah.
What are you seeing in the upcoming generations or as the industry kind of shifts away from the established individuals, at least in compliance, we've seen a shift from established individuals into a new generation of compliance individuals. What are you seeing, Jeff?
Yeah, I think very similar to, my background, we're seeing a lot of shift in people who have been in, I don't want to say basic, but entry level customer service positions, and trying to make that leap into a more professional career. And even at the entry level, it's a great way to start and a great place to start, and really, get some roots and learn about banking and really the connection and what we do for people. I think, there's a misconception that a lot, sometimes bankers are the bad guys once you have an understanding of what it is that we're actually doing on a daily basis, it's pretty amazing. I think there's a connection there that people are starting to grasp a little bit more.
So then obviously I have my opinions as to what banks do and the value and quality behind banks. What would you say the role of the bank in a community is?
So, I can speak specifically for our institution. And so, like I mentioned, we're five branches. We're a small community financial institution. And what we're based on and, what we're built on is investing back in our community. And that, that starts with the people next door, the people right across the street, whether it's, one of our employees' mother that needed a loan to buy a home, or whether it's, the juice shop that is opening them up, down the street, and they weren't able to get the financing they needed from a larger institution because they have, a stricter set of, stuff that they're looking at. When it comes to community banking, those are the only people we deal with. We only deal with people directly in our community, and that's how we pay the community back and appreciate and thank them for, supporting us as we support them. And it's a mutual relationship, where when you get into a lot of the bigger financial institutions, you lose some of that, and some of it's done because it's regulated and it has to be, where it's literally the pillar of what we were built on. That's what we're doing on a daily basis.
So then how does the upcoming generations play into that?
Yeah. So when you think about it, if we look past my group of people, the Gen Xers, so then you get into millennials, and they're kind of mixed, right? When it comes to digital, and like it wasn't they weren't born with it, but it also, you know, early on in life it became more prominent.
I've heard a new term for them, digital natives.
I think that's a great assessment of it. Okay. But then you get into the Gen Zs, and Gen Zs is the first generation that has lived completely in a digital world.
Yeah.
Right. So things are different from the boomers and the Gen Xers and even partially the millennials. And so it's important that when you're talking about, you know, community and the things that go on, a lot of, you know, communities and community banks specifically don't have the resources and the overhead to be, you know, to have all the shares and likes on TikTok and Instagram and those types of things to get that exposure. And it's really important that, you know, these generations understand what we're trying to accomplish, because, you know, a lot of studies show, and I'm not going to quote a bunch of data, but at the end of the day, the you know, the upcoming generations make more of an emotional connection to brands, to ethics, and to the purpose of what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, understanding that what we're doing directly impacts people, causes, and things within our immediate communities is super important, because it's so easy to look at, you know, the mega banks of the world and all the advertising that they do,
right,
and lose sight of, you know, what, how banking started, which was in small communities.
So then how do you spread that word? I mean, how do you get that out there? Cause obviously the money that goes into marketing advertising is just, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, there's so much money in the marketing and advertising industry, just across the board. So not even just in banking, but how do you get that message out?
I think that's how you have to be out present in the community and be talking to those people. Okay. So it's about, you know, whether there's a something going on at the schools, taking the opportunity to get in front of the kids and say, hey, look what we're doing. As you're getting older, as you start to evolve and learn about finances and your community, these are the things that you can do to help. These are the things that we're doing to help. You know, getting involved with your chamber of commerce, getting involved with your Rotary clubs, and, you know, those millennial age groups. And really finding a way to participate. If it resonates with you that there's ethics and that there's purpose in what you do, you know, get out and do those things and learn and meet the people in the community and understand how, you know, a community is a relationship, and that it's an opportunity for everybody to work together to accomplish, you know, a common goal.
So then talk to me a little bit about you getting involved in the community. Cause I know we'd mentioned briefly that you're a committee member of the local Chamber of Commerce leadership program.
Yeah.
What's the value behind getting involved in something like a Chamber of Commerce? And then how are you extending that value to your position at the bank?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the value speaks for itself, Daniel. You know, we have an opportunity to influence each other as human beings, first and foremost, and help people, you know, in positions when they need the help. And, you know, whether it's we're representing a company that we work for, or we're just representing ourselves as somebody within the community. Again, it's a family, it's a give and take, it's a relationship. So I think, you know, getting involved in those things is critical, especially the younger age. You know, I think with some of the challenges in schools that kids have, finding a group where they can feel like they fit in and getting involved in those types of things is very important for their development. And starting those things, like I said, early, you know, will help grow them into, you know, future contributors within their community. You know, we like to get into the schools and just talk to some of the kids about, you know, what is it that you can do within your community? Not only, you know, we don't want to talk about just finances, but what can you do within your community? What do you love about your community? What are the things that make you feel great about living here? And understand that if at some point that stops, things will change, and that they are, you know, they're the successors. They're the ones who are going to take up over for us old folks and, you know, really make sure that we continue on with that continuity of people working together.
Yeah, I remember that's a great point. And I remember back when I was in elementary school, we would have student banking days where we had a local financial institution that would come in, and I was one of the student tellers. So I'd get to help run some transactions. Obviously things are different nowadays than they were back then. I'm dating myself a little bit there. But yeah, no, I can definitely appreciate and understand getting involved in the community, being seen and everything like that. So how do you, I'm gonna push back a little bit more about one of the topics we had mentioned, and that was really connecting with this generation that's so present on social media. Like, I feel that necessarily having just a walking up conversation with someone is less common. It doesn't occur as frequently. Like, I'm old fashioned. I enjoy a good handshake and a smile and say, "How are you doing today?" But I know to a younger generation, maybe that is a more atypical process, and it is more digitally present, and their community extends from just where they go to school into more of a digital footprint, into a circle of hundreds, potentially thousands of other individuals that maybe they haven't met in person. How do you reach out to those individuals who are less physically present and more digitally present?
Yeah. So like you said, there has to be a digital presence, right? It's if you don't have one, you can't survive at this point. But I think it's important of what that digital presence is and what the message is that you're showing. If you just put a bunch of posts out there like, "Hey, look at this. This is neat. This is fun," of stagnant pictures.
Right.
You're not going to connect as much. But I think those 10-second reels, right, of "Hey, look at us. We're down at this event. We're supporting our community. Come check it out. Come see us." Those are the things that people are going to make that emotional connection with and say, "Oh, that's really cool that this little small bank is doing this little thing." And that's
actually doing Milton.
Yeah. And that understanding that, yeah, Mega Bank A can be donating, $2 million to the largest charity in the world. From a percentage standpoint, it really doesn't have nearly as much impact as maybe $500 or $1,000 does to a local charity that is going to shut down because they don't have the funding to be able to accomplish the things they need. So understanding, the percentages of how important even just small donations are back directly into our community as opposed to, some of the larger organizations. But yeah, I think, it's really about making that emotional connection, and you have to do that through, live videos of people, being involved and enjoying the things they're doing, enjoying the work they do, and really truly giving back. And that's what will resonate with people as far as, our purpose and our ethics and how we run our business.
So really what I'm understanding is it's not necessarily worth competing advertising and marketing wise with the big ones. I'm not saying don't do advertising and marketing. Obviously there's a place for that, but advertising and marketing with organizations that have the money to put into these things, but it is absolutely worth it to get involved in the community and have that involvement be seen however you can, however it's appropriate to do it. Is that really what you're getting at?
Absolutely. I think the best way to say it is, not only do we do it on a daily basis, and I speak for all community banks, but I think authentic human interactions is what's most important. And that knowing that your community banks are doing it because that's what they believe in, that's what they were built on, and we're not doing it to earn the extra dollars. And,
right.
That's really what it boils down to is be authentically human and, continue to be involved to the things that we do.
I love that phrase, authentic human interaction. I think I think you summed up great. Like that is so important and so huge. It's just doing the right thing for your community because it's the right thing for your community, not because it's hey, we want you to see us passing off this dollar so that we can get the benefit for it. I'm not saying don't advertise or whatever, but you're doing the right reason for the right reason.
Right. Yeah, I applaud all the people who get involved and do those things for nothing other than it being the right thing to do.
That's fantastic. I really like that. So then, Jeff, as we wrap up the episode, I do want to give you the chance. If you could give one piece of advice to our listeners today, and keep in mind most of our audience is going to be just a standard bank employee or small to medium-sized bank, what piece of advice would you give them?
So I was thinking about this, and I wanted to talk about sponsorship.
Okay.
And so sponsorship in the sense of as an employee, you always have an opportunity for growth right? It may not be in the area you're working, but there's always going to be an opportunity for your growth.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most crucial pieces to that is having the sponsorship of the people who are going to speak for you when the doors are closed and you're not there.
Mm.
Right? So you can continue to do the best job, you know, in the world.
Right.
But if you don't have people in your corner who are rooting for you, there's going to be times where you're overlooked, where you're missed, because your name's not brought up in a room and it's, you know, you're not vocal enough about it. So anybody who's, you know, feels like they're in a position where maybe they're not getting the same level of advanced movement that they would like, or the same opportunities presented to them, consider finding a sponsor. Again, this is somebody who is going to advocate for you, be your cheerleader. And when they walk into a meeting and that door shuts, they're the person who is going to root for you, who is going to share your skills, who's going to share your value and mm-hmm. make sure that everybody knows who you are. So, it, you know, find that one person, whether it's your direct manager or whether it's somebody, you know, in a higher leadership position within a different department or a different group. Find that person who you connect with, who you can share your passion with, who can speak on your behalf and share your passion for you while you're not around.
So I'm going to ask you a follow-up question to that, because yeah. I love that answer. I don't think I've gotten one like that before. How do you get someone to be that sponsor? Is it someone like you walk up and say, "Hey Jeff, I want you to be my sponsor. I want you to talk about me." Like what do I do? How do I encourage that relationship?
So I think, you know, you got to be open and transparent. And yeah, obviously you have to have a little bit of a relationship with a person. You can't just right. find some random person you've never seen in the elevator. So, you know, sponsor, I hear you're a brother or something. You know, no, whether it's, you know, like I said, whether it's your direct manager, I mean, in most cases, that's going to be your best opportunity. But if it's somebody that you work with on projects together, if it's somebody in a different group, you say, "Hey, you know, I feel like I'm struggling to kind of make myself known, to get my voice out there. You know, what are some suggestions that you have on how I do that?" And that gives, you know, the potential sponsor the opportunity to say, "Well, what are you trying to accomplish?" And learn more about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an opportunity to build that relationship where they understand more about them and they're more willing to, you know, to speak on their behalf and really share their skills.
I think that's amazing. Jeff, that's a great piece of advice, and that's a great piece of information. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, that is our time for today's episode. Jeff, thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
For the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.